You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will. Let's see, where we want to go? Genesis. We were talking about, last week we were talking about Abraham. I actually do have a track I'm running on, yes. Last week we were talking about Abraham and used him as an example of seeing your future. Everybody say, seeing your future. Genesis, I tell you, turn to Genesis 15. We actually started, turn to Genesis 12. I won't read the whole thing, but I want to bring out a point that was made in Genesis 12. Genesis 12 is where God visited Abraham and called Abraham out to go to the land of Canaan. Call him out from amongst his kindred, his family, and so on, to a place that he would show him. And he told him several things about how he'd bless him and make him a blessing and bless all those that bless him and curse all those that curse him and make a great nation of him. And really, this is, I tell you, foreshadows our covenant. Because we are the children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus, is what Galatians tells us, third chapter. So really, Abraham's our father. Now, maybe we don't have that natural bloodline like a Jew would have to Abraham. But Abraham was the father of faith, not the father of flesh. Are you with me? Paul makes that case over and over in Romans. He makes it in Galatians. And so you and I are connected to the blessing. We're connected to the blessing of God if we believe. It always had to do with faith. It always had to do with you believing and trusting. It never really was about natural bloodline. The natural bloodline brought us the Savior. And Jesus, of course, came through the tribe of Judah. You know, we know that, but when he died on the cross and rose again, he opened the way for everyone to be saved, and he broke down the middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles, and he made everybody one of one blood, one name, and one nation through his blood. So in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, Greek nor Jew. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Woohoo! Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. For cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's what he did. He hung on a tree. That's written in the law in the Leviticus that it was cursed to hang on a tree. He was cursed for us. Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing for this purpose, this intent. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus come and die? Why did he hang on the cross? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Galatians 3:13 and 14 tells us that. So when we read about Abraham, we're kind of going back looking at our heritage. You know, we're kind of looking back and looking at Grandpa, Papa Abraham. Hello. Because we are related by faith to him. And he foreshadowed what God really wanted, a promise. He wanted to make a covenant based on a promise. Not based on law, not based on Moses, not based on flesh, but based on faith. And boy, I mean, Paul makes such a case of that in his epistles. But in Genesis 12, when God called him out, he said this, in the first verse, now the Lord said to Abram, at that time his name was Abram, he was later changed to Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Everybody say, I will show you. That's important. I think most of us have not seen what God has in store for us. We hadn't spent enough time with God. We hadn't prayed. We hadn't sought his faith. We hadn't gotten his word. We hadn't been still long enough to hear what God has to say and for God to reveal to us what he would show us. Maybe you have a picture of your future. Might be good, might be bad, I don't know. You know, maybe you don't have a picture at all. Three kinds of people in the world. People that make things happen. People that watch things happen. People don't know what's happening. I think most people probably just don't know what's happening. But there's probably some other people that do watch things happen. But there's very few that make things happen. But if you don't spend time with God, you're not going to see what you could be. You're not going to see your future as it should be, as it could be, as it will be, if you believe and trust God. You won't have vision. Without a vision, people perish. Proverbs 29:18. Hosea 4:6 says, without my people perish for lack of knowledge. Just don't know. I think you may not think you can make it. Maybe you think you're nobody. Maybe you think, you know, you're never going to amount to anything. Maybe you heard that all your life. I don't know. You know, maybe you convinced yourself of it. I'm here to tell you, you've been lied to. You've been run over. You've been bamboozled. That's not the truth. The truth is, You can do whatever God says you can do. You are who God says you are, and you have what God says you have. And God has a brighter future for you, a better future for you than you could ever dream or imagine. That doesn't come cheap. It takes effort, takes faith, takes obedience, takes discipline, takes commitment. But first you got to see it, because if you don't see it, you won't go for it. Most of us go through life just saying things like, I just can't see that. I wish I could see that. You try to encourage some people and they say, well, man, I wish I could believe that. I just can't. I can't see that. I can't see that. You know, but we need our eyes opened. And that you can't do that by yourself. It takes God to reveal to you who you are. You can't. I didn't know who I was till I found God. I didn't just find God. I found myself. I didn't know what I could do. I mean, before I, you know, met the Lord, my goodness, I was nobody and most likely to fail and getting there fast. But I got saved. I accepted Jesus and my eyes were opened to all the possibilities. I thought I was just who I was in the natural. I thought I was just doomed to repeat whatever, you know, my relatives repeated. I'm not saying I had a bad family. I'm just saying I didn't, you know, I had no ambition, no destiny. I saw no destiny. I just lived day to day and I got saved. And all of a sudden, whole new horizons opened up. I began to see things I never saw before. I mean, I'd go in church and sit in church and see myself on that pulpit. And I thought, that was the craziest thing in the world, me up there preaching. I'd see Brother Osteen preaching. I think, I could see myself up there preaching. I thought, no, you're a knucklehead. Quit that. You can't do that. You know, and I didn't know. I didn't know any better. I'd see that, and I'd think, wow, no way. No way. Me? You got to be kidding. I can't do that. No education, no money. But see, God, he didn't care about any of that. He doesn't care at all. He shows you things that you would never see without him. Even in your business, you may reach a plateau and think that's it, and you know, and you lock yourself in. You put a limit or a lid on yourself. But God has no limits, and he has no lids that he stops and screws the top on. You can't get out. No, no, no. God takes the lid off, and he takes the levels off. He'll show you things you never dreamed or imagined. But if you want vision, if you want to see a better future, you're going to have to get with God to do that. Because God's going to have to show it to you. And see, Abraham's just rocking along here, and God grabbed him, and he says, listen, you're listening to your family, and you listen to everybody around you, and you might have good family. I'm not talking about that. But maybe you've been told you were worthless and no good, and you couldn't amount to anything. But God says, hey, come out from that. Come to me, and I will show you. I will show you something. See, we got to see it before we're going to go for it. We're going to have to get a vision of it, or we're not going to approach it. And that's what he started out doing there. In Genesis 13, he said this. I want to go over all those verses we did last week. In Genesis 13, verse 14 and 15, it says, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, they still had his nephew with them, and they got into some strife, nephews. That's an amazing story when you think about Lot. I know sometimes I get on rabbit trails, but this one has some meat on it. This will be good. Lot, you know, he had herdsmen, and Abram had herdsmen. And the Bible tells us this story is real simple, that Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen argued, and there was strife between them. They were constantly arguing. And Abram said, let's don't let this strife be between us. Strife's a killer. You don't want strife. You can't have it in staff. Are you with me? You can't have it in family. You need to get strife out of your house. You need to get strife out of your business, as it were. And he told Lot, he said, Lot, you just, wherever you want to go, you go, and I'll go the opposite direction. Well, Lot looks around, he sees Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't know anything about Sodom and Gomorrah. He just sees plains, and he sees grass, and he sees streams, and he said, man, I'm going for that. He just went for what looked good. And it's an amazing story. What happened to Lot and all of his herdsmen? He lost them. I mean, next thing you hear about Lot, you know, he's being captured and taken captive. And then after that, he's in Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole place is destroyed and he escapes just him and two daughters. What happened to all that prosperity? What happened to all that he had, all those herdsmen? So much so that it was causing strife. It must have been a lot of them. And family. He had two daughters that were married and two son-in-laws and they didn't come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife even looked back and was turned to pillar of salt. I mean, it's sad because he didn't go on with God. Are you with me? I'm not saying that's always the case. I know the wicked can prosper. I'm not saying that. You know as well as I do that there are wicked people that prosper and good people that prosper. But you sure don't have the blessing of God on you as you can and should have if you're not serving him. But Lot left, and when Lot left him, Genesis 13:14, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Brought this out last week, and I just want to get to that point, is that if you're going to go on, if you're going to improve, if you're going to increase, if you're going to fulfill your destiny, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, if you're going to experience the calling and the will of God in your life, then you're going to have to learn to look from the place where you are. You cannot live your life just settling for everything that is. You're going to have to look at possibilities. You're going to have to imagine. You're going to have to dream. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to lift up your eyes from where you are. Well, this is it, and that's all there is, and ain't no more. Yeah. Well, that's all you're going to get. That's all you can see, that's all you're going to get. If you never see it, you're never going to go for it. God had to develop Abraham's eyesight. He needed glasses. Are you with me? And he worked on him constantly, and he was always talking like that to him. Oh, come on now, lift up your eyes. Look, I want to show you something. See, if we don't get with God, we won't see all that. We just see what is, not what can be and should be. You know, it's interesting when the Bible talks about the last days, Joel 2:28 talks about it, and Acts, the second chapter, talks about it. You know, when the Holy Ghost was poured out on Pentecost and they all spoke with other tongues, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues, and people thought, wow, what is going on? These 120 came out of this upper room speaking in tongues. That must have been something else. And they weren't quiet. They weren't just... There's like 120 of them. They must have been making enough noise to stir the city because people are saying these men are drunk. But people were hearing their own languages. They're from every kind of country you could imagine, 17, 18 different countries that list there, and they heard the praises of God as these people were speaking in tongues loudly. And Peter refers to Joel 2. He said, these men are not drunk, as you suppose. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And upon my handmaidens will I pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Oof. I don't know about you, I'm getting holy goosebumps all over me. The Holy Spirit will cause you to see visions. I know that as far as a gift is concerned, but I know also in context here that He will reveal to you things to do. He will reveal to you your future. He will reveal to you your destiny. When the Spirit comes on you, which is the will of God, you get in His presence, then you'll dream dreams and see visions. Every time I have a birthday, my brother asks me he'll say, well, you dreaming any good dreams lately? Because the old men dream dreams, you know. He's always making his point. Old men dream. I tell him, no, I'm having visions. Young men see visions, old men dream dreams. But anyway. But isn't it interesting that anything associated with God moving has to do with opening your eyes. Seeing the future. Seeing more than you had ever seen before. That's what God was trying to get across to Abraham. And that's what he says. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Now, if you can't see it, you're not going to get it. But see, that's a good point. In fact, that's probably a flag that should go off. If you read something or you hear somebody say something, maybe about you, you know, that's good. Maybe they're saying, and you're going, man, I wish I could see that. Well, there's a flag. You need to work on your eyesight. Get something poured in your eyes. I don't know what you need to do, but get in the Word and get your eyes opened back up. Because if you can't see it, that's wrong. That's not a good thing. You need to work on, start opening your eyes a little bit by getting in the Word and getting in prayer and spending time with God and start seeing what God says. Well, I'm so happy for old so-and-so that God did that. You know, that never happened to me. You know, we say things like that. You ever said that? You ever done that? Okay, two of y'all have. The rest of you are lying. I'm going to get you up here. I'm going to pray for you. We've all done it, haven't we? You know, back, oh, man, just not, I wish I could, you know, like people have some gift or something, you know, that God's walking, you know, like a fairy with a, you know, with a wand flying around going, ding, just bless you. And bless. God doesn't do random, okay? He wants to work with you. I know in the world there are things that it's hard to explain, you know, when there's wicked do prosper and sometimes good don't prosper. But if you'll seek God, he will bless you from where you are. Maybe you're not going to be a millionaire. That's not what I'm saying. But you can go to the next level, the next level, the next level. But if you can't see the next level, you're not going to go to the next level. If you can't see it, it's not going to happen. It takes God to show you that you can be healed, that you have a better life physically, a better life mentally, a better life maritally, or whatever the case will be. Sometimes we give up because without him, we can't see it. You know, I remember I was talking to the doctor just after my dad came out of surgery just this last weekend. Wow, when was that? Thursday, Tuesday, whenever it was. Wow. Was it Tuesday? Okay, Tuesday. Went in surgery, and of course the doctor, you know, they're going to tell you everything. And, you know, in my dad's case, the doctor said, this is a bad deal. Your dad's high risk, and this is very dangerous. And he just went on and on, you know. He said, but if we don't do this, he's going to die, and so we've got to do something or he's going to die, because what happened is intestines exploded in the stomach cavity. And anyway, you know, he's with his age and COPD, anytime you put him under is a risk. So I'm just, you know, I'm saying, well, just do it, and, you know, we're going to believe, we're just going to pray. You know, that's what we did. We prayed for Daddy, and then he came out, and then he made it through, amazed the doctors. He actually survived the surgery, you know, and I went in and talked to the next ICU, and I had my little mom. She's just real frail, you know, and just her and I were standing there, and he pulls us out of the room, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, this could be a disaster. I'm serious. This is what the doctors say. A different doctor, the one that's his pulmonary doctor. He said, this could be a disaster. He could have a heart attack and die. He starts going over all this stuff. He said his kidneys could shut down. He said, I'm telling you, if he's got to do not resuscitate, we're gonna honor that. I'm standing there, my mama, just, I'm holding her, you know. And I said, well, he came through the surgery fine, didn't he? He said, yeah, he did. He came through the surgery fine. I said, well, we're just going to take it one day at a time. We're just going to pray that he's going to get better. And I just turned her around. I walked her right out of there. I thought, I am not going to stand there and listen to that. I thought, you know, I know you got to hear the bad news, but I think the way to share it would be, you know, this is serious. He could die. We don't know. But if we didn't believe he could make it, we wouldn't have done the surgery. There is a chance he can make it. And we'll just see tomorrow what happens and the next day what happens. I know they're not believing. I understand that. But you'd think they'd give you some picture of a possibility, an inkling. Are you with me? And what a difference. I mean, I was just in the hospital with Bud. Bud and I were in the hospital, and Sue was out. I mean, she'd been out for days, and it was serious, and the doctor told us that. But the doctor also said, if I didn't think she could get better, we wouldn't be doing this. Now, that's the way to say it. That gave us hope. I remember walking out with Bud. We walked out with some hope there, you know. Yeah, hey, you know, she can make it. And she even said, a lady doctor said this. She said, I've worked on lots of people like this, and they have come out. You know, we can't guarantee, but if I didn't believe she could get better, I wouldn't be doing this. Wow. You got to have a picture, see? If you don't have a picture, you're all hope's gone. We got to be careful the way we talk to people and share with people, and be careful what you say about yourself. I mean, God had to work on Abraham. We talk about Abraham and his faith, but God constantly visited Abraham to encourage him. He would get a little off, and God would say, hey, open up your eye. Whoa, wait a minute. And finally, he just said, you know what? I'm fixing to change your name. You're not getting it. I'm going to change your name. So every time you introduce yourself, you've got to say your name is Abraham, father of many nations. You got to get this picture. He was always trying to show him something. You know, Ron was mentioned this last week. The service was over. He was walking out, and he says, and we were talking about seeing the future. This is a continuation, incidentally, last week. And he said, you notice when you go to the seed store, you go up the package and you look at a picture? I mean, how many people, you know, I know farmers that do it all the time, recognize different seeds and know what they look like. But normally when you go in to plant you a garden in the backyard, you don't go looking through seeds and get some of those. You look at the picture. You look at what it's going to be. You look at what it's supposed to look like. and you pray and hope it turns out that pretty. But anyway, you know, you get a pack of seeds that doesn't have a picture of the seed. It has a picture of the product on there, of the end result. And that's what you buy. That's what you go take off the shelf. I want some of that. I like that, you know. But if they didn't have any pitchers in the store and you went in there and said, well, I want some watermelons or I want some cantaloupes or I want broccoli or whatever, you know, you're just walking around going, what is that seed? You know, wouldn't know what anything was. And then you'd have to get an idea in your head about what that's supposed to look like. Even farmers got more sense than we do. Hello, feed and seed store. Do you see the picture? You may be going through the motions. You may be quoting the word. You may be praying. You may be planting the seed right now, but you need the picture in front of you to continue the process, to keep the work going, to stay motivated, to keep hope alive. That's what God did with Abraham. He just constantly gave him a picture. All the land you see, I give to you. Man, I love that. Isn't that good? Okay, Genesis 15. Turn there. This helping you? Apply it to yourself. I'm stopping and making it practical and personal, and you need to do that. If you don't make it personal, you're going to miss out on the whole point. Whatever it is you do, whether you're working for a company, you own a company, whether you're retired, or you know, whether you're dealing with a sickness or disease or depression or a marital situation, I don't know. You know, there's various needs out here today. But I do know this, that the principle applies to everyone. The principle is true in every case. If you'll get a picture of coming out of whatever it is you're in from God's Word, and it's going to take God's Word to do it, spend time with Him. You'll get a picture, and you'll start walking by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. You will slowly, little by little, step by step, day by day, come out of whatever it is that you're in right now and into the promised land, to the land of promises. Get the picture. See it. Then say it. See it in the spirit, say it in the natural, and then see it in the natural. Because if you'll see it in the spirit and you'll say it, you'll begin to see it in the natural because it'll start changing. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Now this is after he'd gone up to Kedorlaomer and whooped all those kings, as we say. There were five kings that came from the north down to Sodom and Gomorrah and took captive all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, including Lot, his nephew. Someone told Abraham about it, and Abraham got his 318 trained servants, trained for war, born in his own house, and went after them. Days. It took them days to catch up with them. And they caught them up north, some way up north in Haran, up that area. And they split up and divided up around five kings and their armies. And they, as we say in East Texas, put the whoop on them. And got all the captives and all the goods and brought it all back down south. Came across Jerusalem. And a priest came out called Melchizedek and blessed them. And Abraham gave tithes of all the spoils to him. And the king of Sodom showed up. I don't know where the king of Sodom was. He must have been hiding out. But he showed up and he said, hey, he says, just give us our people back. You can have all of our stuff. And he said, no, I won't take one shoe latchet from you, lest you say, man made me rich. No man's going to make me rich. God makes me rich. And he gave them all the stuff back. And then after this instance, the 15th chapter, first verse, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision and saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Man, I love that. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer, a servant in his house, Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. This is prophetic. Then he brought him outside and said, now look toward the heavens. There he is again, open his eyes again. This is amazing. Look now toward heavens and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. To me, it's just amazing. You'd think just God said, hey, don't worry about it, Abraham. We're going to take care of it. You're going to have a son. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be wonderful. No, he needed him to believe. He said, Abram, come out here. Now let's go through this one more time. Look up. Open your eyes. Because you're closing your eyes. You're limiting yourself. You're telling me what I can't do. I can do anything. You tell me why I can't do it. I can do anything. There's nothing to stop me from doing what I want to do. That's God. Okay, God can do anything. Yeah, but this. And yeah, but that. Yeah, I'm old. Yeah, this. Yeah. Oh, no. Wait a minute, Abraham. Come here. Open up your eyes and look. You're closing your eyes. You see all those stars? Nothing. Nothing compared to the descendants I'm going to give you. If you could count those stars, that'd give you an idea of how many descendants I'm going to give you. You're not going to go childless. But you need to see it. You get it? God needed him to see it. God can already see what he wants to do, what he can do in your life. But you and I can't see it. He needs us to see it. Because only what we see will he give us. And we're going to have to look from the place where we are to really experience what God has for us. Y'all see that? You see that all through Abraham's life. In fact, no, I'm not going to go. I'm going to go to the New Testament. I thought about going to where he changed his name, but I think the principle we see here is real plain. Go to a place that I will show you. Look from the place from where you are. All the land you see, I will give you. Look now toward heaven. Y'all see that? You see a pattern here? 12th chapter, 13th chapter, 15th chapter. He's saying this over and over. We sang that song just a while ago. I love that song. And Brenda changed the last verse to it to a saying that Brother Osteen used to always say, great it is to dream the dream when you stand and use by the starry stream the heavens. But a greater thing is to fight life through and say in the end that the dream is true. You know, God showed Abraham some things, but Abraham obeyed also. He obeyed the heavenly vision. He moved his family. He went where God told him to go. He did what God told him to do. And as you obey the vision and obey the dream, then it comes to pass. You know, you can dream all day long, but it's much working and much business that makes dreams come true. Opportunity, I think as Thomas Edison said, opportunity passes so many people by because it's dressed up in overalls and it looks like work. And so they miss it, you know. But it is. It takes work, but it's worth the work. And the motivation to work is the dreaming and the vision. Turn to Romans 4. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Good stuff. Amen. Well, I think so. Yeah, that's good. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Romans 4. This is really an account of what we just read. Some of those things we just read in the 12th chapter, 13th chapter, and the 15th chapter. And if you know, he went on to the 17th chapter. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. That's an amazing thing there. You don't even know who you are without God. You get in God, you find out who you are. He changed his name. His whole concept of himself changed. What he'd been calling himself all of his life changed. I love encounters with God. Encounters with God reveal to you yourself. They reveal to you your future. They reveal to you what God has placed inside of you. There are things inside of you that you're never going to get out of you until you get in God's presence, until you get with him. They're there. They're dormant. They're just passive. They're not active. They're not alive. They're potential, but they're not activated yet. See, you don't even know they're in there. You didn't even know you could do that. You didn't even know that was given to you, that God placed that in your spirit. You wouldn't even know that if you hadn't got with God. I can do that? Yes, you can. If you get around God, you find out all kinds of things you can do. Woo! Romans 4, 17th verse. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And he's referring actually to the 17th chapter of Genesis. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Calls those things that be not as though they were. That's what King James says. So you think about it. Well, I couldn't say that. I don't see that. Well, that's just the problem. You don't see it. If you could see it, you could say it. But see, you're just looking in the natural, and you need to be looking in faith. You need to be looking in the Spirit. If you could see it in the Spirit, you'd say it. You'd call things that be not in the natural as though they were. See, it's not lying to say you're healed when you feel sick. You're just calling for something that is a be not as though it be a be. Amen? That's not lying. It's you're just seeing something other than you're feeling. You're seeing God working in your life, and I feel the pain. I'm not saying that pain's not real. I'm not denying what's going on here, but I'm calling for something else. I'm calling for what be not is, though it be. You know, you're not lying when you set that thermostat on 70 when it's 80 degrees in here. You're calling for 70. You're calling for 70 degrees. And if you don't call for it, it's not going to come. You're not lying when you stand outside and say, Rover, Rover! And you don't see Rover. You have to call the dog. Okay. Well, I just call them like I see them. Well, then you'd stand out and say, Rover's not here. There's no dog here. Call the AC company. Man, something wrong with my AC. It's not working. Well, what's the matter? Well, it's 85 degrees in here. Well, you got the thermostat set on 85. Well, put it on 70. Yeah, but the thermometer says it's 85, and I'm just calling it like it is. And the AC guy says, do you know where Terrell is? There's a hospital over there. See, we live our lives like thermometers, and we should be living like thermostats. You say, where'd you get that? I just read it. Didn't you read it? It says, God calls those things that be not as though they are. Now, he didn't call things that be as though they weren't. Are you with me? I don't feel pain. I'm not hurting. Now, see, I'd be lying. You'd be lying if you said that. That's calling something that is as though it isn't. Y'all catching this? But if you call something that be not as though it is, then you're saying, I am healed in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, I feel the pain. Yeah, I know what the doctor says. I see the x-ray. I know all that. It's real. I understand that. But I'm calling for healing. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're not lying. You're calling for something that be not as though it is. It would be lying to say you don't feel anything. And are you with me? And the x-ray, I don't believe that, doctor. I don't believe that. He's just telling you what he sees. I just don't believe that's going to stay that way. Does that make sense? Okay. Because sometimes we get it all, and we're our worst enemy because we get it all confused. Well, I'm just calling what is as though it isn't. Well, that's not what it says. No, it doesn't say that. It says call things that be not as though they were. Okay. Man, this is better preaching y'all already a minute. I'm enjoying this. I'm going to get this tape. I'm on the CD. I'm going to listen to it. Woo! I needed this. I'm glad I came today. Man, I am reading my mail. Woo! Amen. Preach it. Don't stop now. Okay. So it says, cause those things that be not as though they were. Cause those things that do not exist as though they did. Who contrary to hope, I love this, contrary to hope, in hope believed. All the cards are against us. They're stacked against us. You know, the doctor's reports are all, they're all against us. Thank God for doctors. Hey, listen, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against hospitals. And I'm not against medicine or surgery. We believe in that. We're for that. But I am telling you that God can do what a doctor can't do. Thank God he can. God still heals. Hallelujah. And you need to hold on to it. You say, well, what if they die? Bury them. I wasn't trying to be funny. I'm just saying if someone dies, you bury them, you go on. But if there's breath and there's life, you believe God, you stand on the word. You know, even in a hospital, when someone dies, they don't give up. They bring out the panels. I mean, activity jumps up 10 times the activity. There's not just one or two people. There's four or five people merging on that person, doing their best. They give it. In fact, the closer they get to death, the more they put everything they've got into it to bring them back. You don't need to give up as long as there's breath, as long as there's life. You say, well, what if someone dies, or what if this doesn't work? You know what? We'll deal with that then. But right now, that's not what we're dealing with. We're believing God right now. Are you out there? Woo! Call those things to be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. Doesn't seem, maybe just an inkling of hope. I'll take it. I'll take that little inkling. I'll take that little mustard seed. If that's all I got, I'll hang on to that. You mean he could make it? I'll take that. I'll take that and I'll run with that. And I'll believe God and stand on the word. Hallelujah. And we'll pray. Are you with me? Against hope, he believed in hope. Man, I love that. Contrary to hope, against hope, he believed in hope, so that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. If you're ever going to become what is spoken in the Bible, you're going to have to believe, and sometimes you're going to have to believe against hope, even. When all is stacked against you, you're going to have, if you're ever going to be what God wants you to be, you have to believe to become what was spoken about you. What's spoken about you doesn't just happen. You have to believe to become what God wants you to be. Well, if it's going to happen, God's going to make it happen. No. If you could hear God now in our vernacular, he would say, no, you make it happen, Captain. You make it happen. I'll help you, but you're going to have to believe. We're waiting on God. He's waiting on us. He's trying to show it to us so we can grab a hold of it. But we can't see it. We can't have it. If we won't believe, we're not going to become what God wanted us to be. Well, if God wants it to be, it'll just happen. No, that's not what the Bible says at all. I mean, you're not talking about the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible includes us in the process. We have this dignity of causality, has been said. We have the honor and the privilege and the dignity of being a part of the process. We're not puppets on a string. He's not pushing buttons and just pulling strings. We have choices. We have a will. We can rebel against God, or we can agree with God. We can go with him and be what he wants us to be, or we can not be what he wants us to be, but we are part of the process. And that's why he spends so much time trying to get us to see this, because we need to see it. If we're going to be it. Okay. Let me wrap this up and we'll beat the Baptist to Brookshire's. Get out of here early. So he says, who contrary to hope believed in hope, so that he became the father of many nations according to what is spoken, so shall their descendants be. You got to believe if you're going to become what God says. Isn't that right? You're going to have to call those things that be not as though they were. When God changed Abraham's name, Abram, to Abraham, then he had to call himself the father of many nations when he had no children. He had one son by a concubine, but that wasn't what God said. He wanted one out of his own loins and Sarah's loins, and that was Isaac. And people say, what's your name? He said, I am Abraham. And they think he's lost it. He's off his rocker. 99 years old, and he says he's the father of many nations and got no kids. Normally, people don't have children when they're 99 years old. And Sarah was 90. Woo. 19th verse. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Isn't that the case? Man, I'd like to believe I'm healed, but boy, I'm feeling the pain. Well, if you're weak in faith, you'll consider the pain. Doesn't mean you don't hurt. Doesn't mean you don't have to take some medicine. Go ahead and take the medicine. Do what you got to do. Do what the doctor says, but don't give up on healing. Believe for healing. Amen. Don't be weak in faith. Being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, that was an impossible situation, but it didn't matter. God said that's what's going to happen, and that's what's going to happen. So what he did, he closed himself off to that. He quit considering that. Sometimes you've got to get another picture. Maybe you need to put it on your refrigerator. That's somewhere you visit frequently, I'm sure. Or put it on the mirror in your bathroom. A picture of whatever it is that you're believing. I don't know what it is. Maybe to help you. If it'll help you, get a picture of it. Look at it. Stare at it. Woo. Okay. 20th verse. He did not waver or stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. King James says strong in faith. Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. There is some insight. I don't know if you got that, but if you want to strengthen your faith, then begin to praise God. Begin to give God glory. Begin to thank him for what he said he would do and the promise that he made you. And as you worship him, your faith will be strengthened. Hallelujah. You won't feel so weak and doubtful all the time. Man, you get charged up. You get stirred up. Woo, man. Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Not weak in faith. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for what you showed me. I thank you it's going to come to pass. It's going to be like you said. It's going to be like your word says. I see that. I believe. I call for that in the name of, I'm setting my spiritual thermostat.
Amen.
Amen. And somehow, some way, God brings it to pass. I don't know, and you don't have to know, and you don't have to figure it out. You don't even have to be an AC man to turn thermostat to 70 when it's 85 degrees in here. In fact, you don't even see it, but if you could go through those walls, if you had some Superman X-ray vision, you could look through those walls. There's wires all back in there, and they're going all the way to these units, and those wires are going going to these units and kicking on these motors and these fans, and it's pushing air through all these vents and coming out. This is not Noah's Ark. Those are actually duct vent, air AC vents. And there's an outside unit going. There's all kinds of stuff going on you don't even see. All you have to do is just turn thermostat. That's all. You believe God, I imagine God dispatches angels and they get to flying around, get to busy working, doing things, making things happen. You don't have to know all that. All you got to do is believe God.
Amen.
Just set your thermostat. Well, how in the world? Well, it's not about how, it's about who.
Glory.
Yeah. You're asking the wrong question. That's not even your job. You are the switch flipper. That's all you are. Just flip the switch of faith on. That's all you got to do. All I got to do is God. No, you just flip the switch. I believe. And then God begins to work. And those things begin to line up. And all of a sudden, just little by little, it starts happening. You go, wow, that's neat. Ooh, man, well, isn't that great? Wow, that just, man, how'd that happen? Well, wasn't that a coincidence? No, it wasn't. Hello. It's because you prayed. Things start lining up. Okay. 21st verse, we'll close this out. He did not waver at the promise or stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced or persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If God said it, he can do it, and he will. And we get fully convinced of it the more we praise him for it, and the more we get the picture of it. See, pray over your family. Listen, pray over your business. Pray over your body. Pray over your finances. Pray over the church. Pray over the ministry. Get the picture of what God wants it to be. Don't you give up and don't you throw the picture away. You keep it in front of you. You keep the vision in front of you. And write it down. That's good. Write down the vision. Write down what it is you're believing. Write the vision and make it plain upon the table so you can run when you read it. Hallelujah. That's what Habakkuk 2:2 tells us. And you put all that together, well, it boils down to this. God's got a better picture of you than you do. And he's got a better picture of your future than you do. What you need to do is throw your picture away and grab his. How about a little exchange here, huh? Let's trade pictures. Let's get his picture. It's better.